Today we're going to talk to Audie McGinnis of Unspoken Tradition. They have a new single out, At the Bottom Again. You're going to hear that tune. Then we will begin our visit with Audie McGinnis. They have a new project that's in the works, not set for a delivery date yet, but a very productive band. Audie writes a lot of the songs in the band. You're going to enjoy our visit. I've never talked to Audie before. Ty Gilpin of Unspoken Tradition has been on several times, and we just need to expand our knowledge base of this very fine band, Unspoken Tradition. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. I want to introduce to you a member of Unspoken Tradition, original member, still a member of Unspoken Tradition. One of the favorite bands we have on Unreal Bluegrass is Audie McGinnis. How are you, Audie?
I'm doing good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to get to talk to you. Everything I said about Unspoken Tradition is true. They get a lot of airplay. I'm always happy to get a new project. Now, the last full album that we had, I know that I went through it cut by cut with Ty Gilp of the band, and that was a great album, Myths We Tell Our Young. So now you have a new single. I want to talk a little bit about that album, but I want you to pick out some songs that maybe we can play for the audience, but talk about you. I want to talk about the new single, At the Bottom Again, and then we'll just kind of take it from there.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. The new single, that is just a single. It's not a part of an album yet, At the Bottom Again. The audience just heard it. Why don't you talk a little bit about how it came about and what the plans are?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably 6 months pooling some resources to start putting together our next album, you know, after Miss We Tell Our Young. And you know, the process, and we kind of just game plan with Myths as well. We released a couple singles leading up to the album, and then, you know, a few months later dropped the whole thing, you know. So that way, you know, the singles serve as little teasers to kind of build up an awareness of this project as well. And At the Bottom just happens to be the first one that we decided to release into the wild. It's a cool tune. John Weisberger wrote it with Justin Carbone, and you know, John sent it to us, and it took me about 30 seconds of the song to realize that it was one we had to pin down and say, yeah, we want that one, you know. on the demo version that he sent us, Jeremy Garrett was singing the vocals and or singing the song, and I was like, oh man, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah.
So, the demo just excited me in a way that it was great. And like, as soon as we got it, I started calling the guys. I was like, listen to this song right now, and we're going to make a decision on this right now.
We talked a little bit, Audie, before we got started about what I recognize, and I think it's a wise move on releasing singles in anticipation of a full album down the line. I like it on this end in that I have one single to keep track of, and I can really hit that one hard as far as airplay, and then another one, and then another one, and then at some point a full CD will be released. But you mentioned this as one of those, and I think that's getting to be a very popular way to do this.
I think with the way that music culture has changed as far as the digital age bringing streaming about and things like that, I think doing it this way is at least for the bluegrass genre, I think in a way it kind of is an answer to that. You know, it plays into the nature of our digital music culture now. You know, every song out there is already in your pocket in your phone. You know, so it's the releasing a few singles as a way to get people amped up for the big album is a way to do that.
And
sometimes it feels like we're kind of building the plane in the air.
Yeah, it does.
But there are benefits to that as well. You know, I mean, we kind of get to look at where a single lands and how people respond to it and make decisions about the rest of the album, you know, moving forward. So, I mean, because like we've recorded some songs, but we don't have everything yet. And we're still, you know, we're still making decisions about what the rest of the record's going to look like. So, you know, watching what's happening with this single and maybe the next one or, you know, things like that will help us make those calls.
I think it's a good idea. And when we're off of the phone, you can go Google 45 RPM singles Because that's the way it used to work. When I was young, I'm a lot older than you, you got a 45.
I remember the old 45, sort of.
Yeah, well, you heard about it. And so, so what would happen is, like, I don't know, the Beatles, somebody say that, would release a 45, and everybody rushed down and get it, and then they'd release an album after that. But they had hits that were singles before they ever released albums. So just using them as an example, I still kind of like it, not because I'm old, but I think it makes the transition easier from a great project like Myth We Tell Our Young. You get people used to the new one coming on, and I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great concept from musically, and I think it's a great marketing concept.
Yeah, well, and you know, I mean, you're right about the idea of the 45s, and I mean, I remember even when I was a teenager going into music stores and being able to buy even CDs and cassette tapes that were singles.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So it's not a new game, but I think it's interesting that I don't know, it's like with the way that digital music is now, I don't know if I mean this maybe not as negatively as it might sound.
No,
but
it doesn't. I know what you're saying.
It makes everything so single serving that it's like if you aren't putting out content, you're falling behind.
That's right.
And I think you know, it's a way to keep your name in the conversation and keep your music in the conversation and remain relevant, you know, while, you know, if you release an album and nobody hears from you for 2 years until, you know, I mean, for people that aren't frequenting live shows, which what is a live show today, but,
right.
you know, but outside of COVID-19, if you're not going to see live music, people are not going to hear from you until you put something else out, you know, so it's a good way to stay on the scene, so to speak.
Well, listen, we've talked a little bit about the first song, this new single, At the Bottom Again, and so you're new to my audience. I've had Ty on a couple times,
right.
And so my audience doesn't know you except that you're this great member of a great band, Unspoken Tradition, so I need to hear from you a little bit about Audie, then we're going to have some other songs to talk about.
Okay. Well, what do you want to know?
I know where you are. You're in North Carolina, but I want to know how you got in the band. I want to know you're a teacher. You've been a teacher. The audience doesn't know these things.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a little town in North Carolina called Cherryville, but it's pronounced Cherville. The Y is silent. And
do you know how to say the city in Kentucky that looks like Louisville? Do you know how to say it?
I thought it was Louisville.
It's Louisville. It's like two syllables, Louisville. So when you say Cherryville, I get it.
Okay, Louisville. Okay.
Too many syllables, Louisville.
Louisville, okay.
All right, go ahead. Talk about your hometown again. I won't interrupt you.
No, you're fine, you're fine. No, but actually, Darren Aldridge is from Cherryville as well, matter of fact.
Yeah,
so small world, but and it's a small little town. You know, it's a... everybody knows everybody kind of situation, for better or worse. I live in Concord, North Carolina now. Really cut my teeth right here around the local area. You know, we're 15 minutes from Shelby, which is, you know, Earl Scruggs' bluegrass capital.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to say it was a hotbed might be a bit of an overstatement, but there was a lot of regular picking at a high quality when I was young that I was fortunate to be exposed to. In regards to getting involved in bluegrass, I don't think I ever had a chance. Like, it was going to happen. You know, it was just everywhere. And my dad was really, he's an audiophile and a music nerd too. So I've been around it, you know. I've just grown up in it. We formed the band. It was actually just a bunch of local guys from Cherryville originally, before Ty or any of the Asheville and Western North Carolina faction of the band got involved. It was just a bunch of guys from Cherryville that we were picking in my basement, and one guy said, "Hey, I think we can get a gig at this local bar," and you know, it was a hey, we're doing this couple hours a night, you know, anyway, why don't we go do it, make some money, you know, and that's kind of how it started. And one thing led to another, and met Ty through Darren, and Ty introduced us to, you know, Sav and Tim and a whole bunch of other people in the music community in Western North Carolina, and it's just been a wild ride ever since.
It's a great band. It's a great band. We're all very fortunate that it coalesced the way it did. And you've got great people like John Weisberger sending you songs, and you're probably getting, although you write a lot of songs for the band, I don't want to get away from that, but you do, but you're probably getting a lot of selections sent your way now.
You know, it's interesting. I was, before we signed with Mountain Home, we put out two records that were just self-produced, you know, self-managed, self-released. And really proud of those. We were able to do those without going into the red. You know, we were able to support the recording process with gigs and things like that. So that was a really cool opportunity. And then we signed with Mountain Home and put out Myths We Tell Our Young, and had some people throwing us some songs for that album as well, like Paula Breedlove and a few others. And now for this new album that we're currently building, man, we've gotten some people that I have considered heroes of mine for, you know, a long time, like, sending us songs. I'm like, how did you get my email address? And secondly, like, wow, this is coming from this guy or that guy. So I'm excited. And I mean, we've all written and contributed musically to our stuff. And there will be some stuff that I've written and Sav's written and Ty's written on this new album too. But, yeah, we're getting some contributions from some folks that are pretty exciting.
That's great. I mean, that's a great sign. I mean, that means people trust what you can do with their song, and you're getting great offers from them. I want to come back to what will become a full album CD. I know it's not in the works yet, and you've got a couple things, but I want to spin off now and have you ask you before we started to pick out a couple tunes, and I think you want to maybe introduce to the audience Land. Talk about that a bit. We'll play that for them, and I'll come back and talk to you more about what's going on with the possibility of a new CD and your approach in general with Unspoken Tradition. So why don't you do an intro to Land?
Okay. Well, Land is it was one that I did write for Miss We Tell Our Young, and I don't know. It's you know, before we moved to Concord, my wife and I were living in Charlotte. We lived in Charlotte for about 5-6 years, I don't know, like, growing up around Cherryville, where it's a pretty rural area for the most part, and then moving to, you know, the biggest city, maybe the big, I think it's the biggest city. Raleigh might be bigger, I'm not really sure.
I think Charlotte's bigger.
Okay, so, I mean, the biggest city in our state, it was a pretty stark contrast for me culturally. I was like, wow, there's a lot of really tall buildings and some, you know, a whole lot of concrete. And I don't know, like, I remember, like, just feeling like every time I left my house, I was in a traffic jam, and there's, like, all this noise from the city that I wasn't used to, and, you know, it took some adjusting. And I wrote this song out of, I don't know if I'd call it frustration, but just realization that the world is a ever-changing place, and if we aren't careful and pay attention to how we're changing it, it might not always be for the better, you know. So when you listen to the lyrics of Land, it's talking about,
yeah,
like, you can't always get back what you had, so make sure you're making changes you want to make.
It's a great song. I'm going to play then for the audience Lumber Bluegrass Land, which is from Myths We Tell Our Young, and we'll come back and talk to Audie for a few more minutes, and we'll introduce another song, so hold on. Be right back.
Good deal.
There you just heard Land, which Audie McGinnis of Unspoken Tradition wrote, gave a great explanation for. I remember that song. I played it. The whole album, to me, Myths We Tell Our Young, I've got the one preceding this. But I remember having this discussion again with Ty, because I see Ty more often because he has a dual role with the band and also with the label. I just think this the last album that you guys put out, and that's why I'm very excited to talk about what's coming, I think it's as good an album as I heard all year.
Myths We Tell Our Young?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's really that's really cool.
It's a great album. It's got so many great songs, and then to end with that Blues Traveler tune.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. And it's funny because I don't know, you know, it was kind of like a something for everybody kind of thing. And you know, like if we're playing at a place that we know these people are here to hear some bluegrass, we might leave that one off.
No, but, sure.
But it goes over well in places where maybe people are hearing us from the first time. You know, it's just one more little tool in the toolbox, so yeah. to speak.
Oh, I think it's yeah. good. It's so good. And
I was a teenager in the 90s. I mean, Blue Travelers shaped me in a lot of ways. So
I saw them open for the Allman Brothers Band on that very first album. And, man, they were wild. It's like, this guy's playing, like, this heavy metal harmonica stuff. And he had this string of harmonicas, like two strings of harmonicas. John Popper had them all over his neck. And, man,
yeah,
it was like...
It looks like an ammo belt.
Yeah, like he was going to war. And then they got real popular, and he lost all that weight. And then it's like, nobody, I don't know what happened, but he went on a super diet. They had that song that was, like, all over the radio. And then I don't know what happened to him. I guess they're still performing somewhere. But
I don't know.
They hit that... Runaround or whatever. Well, I forget the name. You know the
yeah,
song.
I think Runaround was the first one I really remember.
Yeah, that took off.
Mainstream.
Yeah,
that whole album 4 was pretty good.
It was. They were great. That was great. I was thrilled to hear that song. So a little bit more about than Audie. You've been part of the band. You write. I know you wrote several compositions. We talked about where you get music from, but you're always writing music. Do you have? We have an inkling that there's going to be a new CD. We don't know when. We've heard At the Bottom Again, which started off our conversation. So let's talk a little bit about the process of what might be coming up to follow Myths We Tell Our Young.
I mean, it's it's tough to say. I mean, it's kind of I will say this. I think we would be our plans would be a little more concrete than they are right now if it hadn't been for everything everybody's been through.
Yeah, sure.
For the last couple months. I mean, you know, that is one thing about our band is that we are relatively spread out. I mean, I live 2.5 hours. I'm the furthest east, and the guy that lives the furthest west is almost 3 hours from me. Hmm. So rehearsal is... You know, it's tough. We do what we can, and we've gotten together a few times here and there where we felt like it was safe and practical and, you know, whatnot, and legal. Yeah. But it's been difficult. And also, I mean, creatively, you know, I think it's hard to stay in a good headspace for this kind of thing during, like, when the lockdown first started. I said, man, I'm just going to write. I'm going to write and write and write and play and play, and I'm going to come out of this, and I'm going to be, like, just a whole different musician. And about 2 weeks in, I was like, this is so depressing and scary, and I can't think about music right now because I'm thinking about, like, spraying my Amazon packages with Lysol, you know. So it was a weird space.
It's funny to talk about it now. I don't mean to laugh at it, but we all went through that where all this time, you know, my office was shut down. I was still doing work, but I got my banjo over there. I'm going to get back all those licks I had, and it didn't happen because it's just the overall atmosphere of what's going on. It just doesn't really, it doesn't lend itself to that.
It was unfortunate because I thought, here I finally have this free time to do all these things, you know. I mean, it's almost like that episode of The Twilight Zone with the guy that has glasses and all he wants to do is read, and then he breaks his glasses.
That's exactly right.
I felt like that, like the writer's block went up, like it was a strong wall to break through. So it's been tough. I mean, but to say that we don't have any plans would be inaccurate as well. I mean, like I said, we've had some big contributions from some really great songwriters, and we're working through some of that stuff and you know, working on getting those songs ready to go in the can. And I know, like, Ty has been writing some. I have written a little bit here and there, but not with the volume that I have with the last two records, but it'll be there. And hopefully as things are starting to lift and lighten a little bit, maybe, you know, I feel the tap turning back on a little bit for me. So
yeah. And I think I'm talking to Audie McGinnis from Unspoken Tradition. I think, and as we look forward to a new album, Hear Myths We Tell Our Young was really a phenomenal album. And then the season to tour, to the extent that you were able to with all your other jobs, disappeared. So I would think that what you would want to do is, we talked about releasing a single at a time, but I would think Audie, that when you release the new CD, whenever that'll be, and I know it's in the works in an idea form, it would be at a time when you feel pretty comfortable that you're going to be able to get out on the road and perform.
I would hope so. I mean, it's hard to...
And who knows when that's going to be, but I mean, I would hope people could be time
yeah,
for
I mean,
that.
That's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to... I'm speaking on behalf of me. I'm not the band or anybody else. This is just me. But, I mean, I don't know, you know, if we had an album really, or recorded and ready to go, how long do you sit on it? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, but hopefully when we get everything ready to go, we won't feel any kind of apprehension about getting out there and supporting it. Because, I mean, you got to get in front of people, and you got to get it out there, and you've got to get out there with it and work that material and you know, show people. You know, and and recording is fun and everything, but it's nothing like playing live.
You got to get the feedback from having people there, and maybe you do that. Maybe you get the feedback before you commit a song to an album, and maybe you tweak it as you see how the audience reacts.
I mean, that's definitely something we've done in the past. You know, you put something out there and try to see how people respond to it, you know, and that's that does make navigating this a little trickier. But then again, like I said, with At the Bottom, I didn't need any feedback from anybody else. We knew, you know, so some of these songs they're strong enough to stand on their own, you know. So.
Hey, listen, I want you to take the opportunity to introduce the audience to one more song from Miles. Myths We Tell Our Young. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit, then we'll play that song, and I'll let you get back to songwriting. And I think you have a date coming up real soon within the next few minutes where you're going to be joined by a member of the band to maybe write some stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have a little skull session tonight.
Oh, well, that's good.
I will introduce a song that's written by a bandmate for this next one.
Okay.
So there's a song on Myths We Tell Our Young called Cold Mountain Town, and it was written by Ty Gilpin, and Ty's our mandolin player, and he will step in and do some singing. I think he's sung maybe one song on all of our albums, you know. So I personally love his voice, and I always like when he offers to step in and sing one. Sorry.
Okay.
My banjo player was beeping me, and I was trying to get rid of him.
Everybody wants to get rid of the banjo player, right? You hear it all the time. All right. Go ahead.
Well, he doesn't need to call me during an interview. Where was I? Oh, Ty and the song. So, Cold Mountain Town is about living in Asheville. So, Ty lives in Asheville. And, I don't know. It's an interesting viewpoint of what it's like not growing up necessarily, but living in a town that has changed so much over the last 20 years. You know, with the hotel industry and the beer industry there. I mean, like, it's the beer capital of easily North Carolina. And I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting a brewery in Asheville. And that's just changed the way that town is, you know. And it's a burgeoning music scene and everything else. There's just a lot of change. And I think that song is kind of geared toward his perspective on all of that. But it's a cool tune. It's musically, it's really interesting. I really like it, and it's got some good three-part harmony on it, things like that. So, yeah, it's a good one. It's called Cold Mountain Town.
I'll play that one. I'll let you go before it ends, but I appreciate your time, Audie. All the best to Unspoken Tradition. The occasion of our discussing now is the new single, At the Bottom Again, which is a great song. We played it before, and looking forward to more great music from Unspoken Tradition. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me. It was a good first conversation.
Yeah, we'll do it again sometime. All right, here it is then, Cold Mountain Town, and then I'll say goodbye to you, and we'll catch up down the road.
Wonderful.
All right, see you, man.